Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on May 9, 2011. May we please have the roll call?
Ms. Kresge?
Present.
Mr. Prater?
Present.
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Mr. Kaplan?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Ms. Sullivan?
Here.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. I'm going to slightly change the order of the agenda, just slightly. Pardon? I know. Before I ask everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, when we stand, I'd like to start off with a moment of silence. And if you're so inclined to pray, you may also do that. My thinking is of the families in Ohio. I don't know how many of you have heard about the shooting that occurred today. Small little town outside of Cleveland, Ohio. Student brought a gun to school and opened fire on a number of students in a cafeteria. My understanding is that one student was killed and four wounded. I'm really not sure how critical the wounded students are, but you can imagine what those families are going through. You send your child off to school and you really believe in your heart and in your head that they're safe and you can't wait for them to come home. But you never know. You never know what could happen. And unfortunately, it's happened again today. I would also ask you to, if you have children, when your children leave in the morning to go to school, go to nursery school, preschool program, give them a hug and or a kiss. Tell them that you love them. I sincerely believe it'll do a world of good. Okay? So at this time, we'd like to ask everyone to please stand, face towards the flag, and we will take a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is the preschool student lottery. And I assume that most of the parents or adults that are here because of the lottery. And I would like to extend a warm invitation for you to stay after the lottery is completed and observe your Board of Education in action. If you can't stay this evening, I would remind you that we do meet the fourth Monday of every month, and the more parents that we have come out and take part in what we do as the Board of Education, I think in the long run, it's in the best interest of our children. So, Mr. Carroll, I'll turn the meeting over to you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your patience. This is, from what our history has told us, is one of the first times that for many of us to conduct a lottery for our preschool. I'm going to turn over the emceeing task to our Director of Special Services, Mrs. Mary McLaughlin, and I will have the honor and therefore the curse of drawing the names. And I wish you all the best. And hope to know that you'll be with us in the coming years. Mrs. McLaughlin.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming. I'm going to shake up the box one last time. Mr. Carroll's going to pull the names. I'm going to read them. Mrs. Hammond, who is the Round Valley principal, is going to, she has a sheet with everyone's name on it, assign everyone a number. There are 25 openings currently as of today. But everyone will get a number, because then starting with number 26, you would be the first one on the waiting list. How we're going to work it for multiples is if one child is called That is, I have on the cards one of three, one of two. So if they are twins or triplets, they automatically get those three slots in a row. So then if we call their name again, Ms. Hammond will remind me and that number will go away and the next number will come up. Okay? Number one is Aiden Ford. Aiden Ford, sorry. Number two is Alexandra Sue. Oh, that's two of two. Yes, so now we're going to number four. Number four is Alex Beswick, and he's also a, yep. So that's four and five. Number six is Akshara Narayanan. Sorry if I'm saying the names incorrectly. Number seven is Layla Barrett. Number eight is Peyton Brand. Number nine is Suresh Das. Number 10 is Christopher Salamine. Number 11 is Eric Beswick. Oh, that was the twin. Okay. Number 11 then is Natalia Cantos. Number 12 is Jordan Mundy. Number 13 is Trevor Keith. So 14, 15, and 16.
Wow.
It's Justin Anise, triplets. Number 17 is Luke Charbonnet. Number 18 is Cameron Mara. Number 19 is Emily Miller. Number 20 is Morgan Penna. Number 21 is Jessica Sell. Number 22 is Trace Frederick. That's 22 and 23, correct? Number 24 is Claudia McAllister. And 25 is Luke Sloda. Yep. 26 is Savannah Sorrentino. 27 is Reed Busby. 28, I think we already have. That's when. HSU, the last name?
Yes.
28 is Oliver Sudell. 29 is Ashley Olson. 30 is Harry Yoganathan. 31 is Ian Aralar. 32 is John Ripke. 33 is Luke Strober. 35 is Owen Latsky. 36 is Matthew Raisa. We already called Frederick, correct?
Yep.
And Anise, right? Yeah, it was the third of the triplet. Okay.
That's it?
That's everyone. Thank you very much. Those of you who were, who we have openings for, you will receive a letter this week. Even those that are on the waiting list, you will receive a letter and with the application to fill out and everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. We can't do two programs? We can't? Okay.
For the superintendent's report, board members, the enrollment currently as of February 1st is 1,629. The suspension reports for February, we had one in the middle school for inappropriate gesture and behavior, which resulted in 2 days in-school suspension. HIB, which is harassment, intimidation, and bullying report, we had one investigation at Round Valley School, which was determined to be a cause for HIB, resulting in a suspension and counseling. And there were two investigations at the middle school, both determined not to be HIB. The presentation that we have on here for the Patrick McGarren Environmental Update and District-Wide Radon Testing by Brinkerhoff Environmental Services is being postponed. We're waiting for their final report. As well, we would like to set up a series of presentations and Q&As with them and possibly a representative of the DEP. Onto my presentation for the tentative proposed 2012-2013 school budget. As stated, it is tentative and it is proposed. What I have for everyone in the audience this evening is the proposed budget, as well as in the backside of that, the revenues making up that proposed. Just to give you a little background, in 2009-2010, we received $1,792,000 in state aid. The next year, 2010-2011, it was cut to $336,000. As well, as an added insult to injury, the state decided to subtract the amount of interest owed on the construction loan that was done for this building. So that was a subtraction of another $71,000. This current year, it was raised up to $583,547, still subtracting the SDA loan. So as you can see from just 2 years ago, where it was $1.792 million, it's just over $500,000. Well, it came in this year, state aid, as of Thursday this past week. And on its own, it was at $1,010,000, still short $780,000 from just 2 years ago. So a big part of the difference that we had because of our participation in school choice and the projected numbers for next year, every seat being tied to an applicant for next year, was an added $1,333,000. So that's state aid total now is $2,343,000. So what I've put before this board with the help of the administrators, the business administrator, is a board that calls for an increase in the budget in the way of the investments we made this year with school choice monies that came in the way of new staff and new programs, as well as curriculum resources, and continuing that next year with many of the items that due to contractual reasons, due to the cost of doing business, utilities, transportation, other areas being raised, where we can still put out a flat tax levy and still be able to meet all the needs of our students and still have our board in a position, our district in a position, where if we see another cut next year, we have an area where we've made investments, some areas one time in the way of training and technology with the help of the ARRA funds, as well as the increased aid this year in choice for programming and training that we hope will continue this district on to continue to meet the needs of all our children and see them achieve. My hope is with the flat tax levy this year, we'll build a base that you can continue to grow. But I will tell you once again, it is a tentative proposed. So as I put this forth to the board members here, I know Mr. Sturgis will be speaking about some investments that were made in curriculum and instruction with the help of our Director of Curriculum Instruction, Ms. Bobby Philippe, where we are going to look to, with the help of our teachers and administrators, see that the revised curriculum is supported through new curriculum resources and training so that we continue to meet the needs of our students, specifically K-5 math, K-8 language arts. And one of the things that I'm looking for, given the feedback that we have gotten from our teachers, staff, parents, and administrators, is continued help in our basic skills program, growing that to a K-8 continuum, adding 2.5 new positions in 5th, 6th, and the middle school. With that, if you see from the revenue side of the proposed, the areas going down, bolded tax levy will be a zero increase, and the majority of our offset will be seen in our state aid general fund, where we have added revenues that other districts will not be able to take advantage of, like school choice. Seeing that our total general revenue is up 6%, and knowing that for every 1% we raise taxes, that would be $220,000. And that is not an area that I would suggest for this board moving forward. We can, as we did last year, cutting taxes by over $300,000. We can continue that same tax levy that we reduced last year, this year, and I do believe projected you can continue again next year to do the same. I will take questions or input from the board at this time. Again, reminder, this is tentative proposed. We must approve a tentative proposal to the county by March 5th, and then do a public hearing between March 22nd to the 29th, and have a proposed budget to the county on March 30th. But the tentative proposed to the proposed can be changed. So we have another month. As we do discussions, as we do presentations, if there's any changes that the board wants to make, that, those changes can be made. So I will open it up to board members.
Who would like to start us off? Go ahead, Michelle.
When would we be able to get a copy of the more detailed version of the budget so we can kind of be able to develop some of those questions that are outside of our committee areas?
If easily enough, I can share with the rest of the board if the finance and facilities would so have it, the work product that we're using. Sure. Mr. Del Sordi can send that this week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That'll go out to the whole board?
Yes.
Okay. All school districts in the state of New Jersey are responsible for getting a tentative budget to their county superintendents by this coming Monday?
That is correct.
But we didn't get the state aid figures until late Thursday afternoon?
As well as a memo the next day detailing the actual information we got.
Was that memo anything specific or?
It was just the way to, there was a new category called phase-in aid that we were looking at the meaning for that, but it did not change our numbers as seen. Many districts that receive adjustment aid, which we do not receive any, saw a cut in those line items, and we're questioning how that fit into the formula that was applied.
Thank you.
How appropriate is it if we contact the county superintendent and indicate that we, as a board, have just not had enough time to take a thorough and efficient look at the budget to make a decision this evening?
Again, Mr. Dinkoff, this is a tentative proposed. In many ways, it is a placeholder to the county. They really are going to be looking at each of our line items as we put in what you see in front. Either way, they want something into their office by end of business on March 5th.
See, my concern is if we adopt a tentative budget without really having board input, or as much board input as we probably should, the budget that we adopt becomes a public document, and people in the community see what the budget is. And what if we decide over the next few weeks as a board to either drastically increase or decrease what the tax levy might be? Right now, this tentative budget calls for a flat tax levy. Is that correct?
That is correct.
See, one of the concerns I have is how does that affect the total budget next year with a 2% cap? How does that, if we have a flat increase, a flat tax levy, how does that affect the 2013-2014 school budget? Does that make sense?
Well, by law, the tax levy next year can only go up by up to 2%. It doesn't tell you the total. By law, we're limited to 2% increase outside of a referendum. So the tax levy next year can be no more than 2% of what you see now. In terms of what the budget would be, it doesn't tell you what the budget will be because there are other sources of revenue. So we have all of these other state aid issues and things that could go up or down. So the bottom line is we have no idea, and like every year, it's quite unpredictable.
Mrs. Sullivan did bring up points at the last board meeting, correctly so, that not only do you have your cap, you have your bank cap, as well as waiverable areas, that, depending
some.
On...
right, that health benefit, there's a few exceptions. To
transportation and special education.
Right. You know, we as a committee, we've seen these numbers, and even so, I don't even think we've dived into it like we really should have. But the entire board as a whole, who's not on the committee, I don't know if they've been given adequate time to debate and question a tentative budget now being proposed tonight. I mean, I'm not even comfortable with it, and I'm on the committee. Imagine the entire board who's not privy to this. It just, you know, here they are saying, okay, vote on this. Where are the questions? Where are the debate? How's the debate going to go? I mean, we've met for an hour. Okay, that's good tonight. But they've never seen it. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, and this was a public discussion at the January meeting where Mr. Kaplan asked for input from board members as well. Ms. Philippe and I met with the policy and curriculum last week to give him an idea where we would like to see investments and still holding a flat tax levy.
But the budget talk on the 23rd was not one of our best moments, I got to be honest. A lot was not accomplished.
A lot was not said, yes, sir.
Right. And
I agree.
So, you know, should we have had more communication? Should we have had more dialogue? I'm just speaking for the entire board. Everybody has to speak for themselves, I guess, but it seems the entire board, we as a whole, perhaps have not had the proper question, time to question and debate this tentative budget. That's my own opinion.
Did the Facilities and Finance Committee meet prior to the meeting tonight?
We met for 1 hour.
Yeah, we met before.
And what's the recommendation of the committee?
Well, I agree with Mr. Frieda. We haven't had a lot of time. And, of course, you know, the state aid figures all came in the end of last week. I mean, this was all totally outside of the board's control. By law, we're going to have to approve a tentative budget. I'm not sure what alternatives we have. We have to approve a tentative budget. We will have to take the next month and iron it out and iron out the details and change it. We don't have any choice there, and there was little anybody could have done. I mean, the stuff came in, Thursday or Friday, and, I mean, it had a big effect on the budget, and everything had to be returned. What can we have done about that? I don't know. My recommendation is we approve it because I don't see any legal alternative, unless we want to just call a special meeting, you know, in a few days or a week from now, but I don't know how much we'll accomplish in that time, and I'm not sure that accomplishes anything anyway. We're going to have to go over the whole budget in detail before the final budget is approved. My recommendation is to approve it just to meet the letter of the law and then do our due diligence over the next month.
So again, I'm speaking for the board. Maybe I shouldn't speak for everybody, but if I was not in the Facilities and Finance Committee, it's almost like you're saying to me, okay, just stamp it, vote yes, even though you really don't know what's in the budget, just give us a tentative vote. I don't know. If I wasn't on the Facilities and Finance Committee, I would be very uncomfortable. And I'm uncomfortable when I am on the committee. I'm just, you know, I don't know how anybody could say, okay, let me just vote yes on it, even though I don't know what's in it. I don't know. If you feel you can do that, good luck to you.
Have we at all talked to the county superintendent and said, can we get an extension on the deadline on Monday because the numbers came in so late last week, which has forced the board not to have ample time to review the budget and get its arms around it before we voted? I mean, have we even made an inquiry there?
I did speak to the county superintendent this afternoon. The timeline is the 5th, and if the board wanted to meet between tonight and the 5th to review it in more detail, they certainly have that option, but he has indicated that he needs a budget by the 5th to meet the rest of the timelines that are set between now and the end of the month.
Jim, do we need to meet again for any reason between now and the 5th?
No.
Well, I personally just got this when I got here tonight, and I'm not comfortable voting on it. So I will be abstaining if you're going to pass a motion.
You know what? Then let folks do it. You know, I don't know. It looks like we're in a catch-22, sadly. Why, I don't know. But we are, I guess. You know, state-driven stuff happens and makes us, as a board, get put under the gun.
It's unfortunate. So, yeah,
right.
It's true.
Then, you know, well, then we need to, if we're pressured into putting this before a vote, then I guess people have to vote their conscience, don't they? And we'll go from there. I mean, you know.
It's that or we call a special meeting and do it at the other meeting. We can do it either way.
Kevin, Tony, just...
We have to have it done by the 5th, so...
Remind me, after the meeting, the submission of the tentative budget is really not a binding document. It is more of a placeholder document to show that we've basically taken a certain amount of steps towards a final by 3:30.
The reason the board is required to adopt the tentative budget is simply to set in motion county review or state review to get ready for the public hearing. You have to advertise before the public hearing, so it takes the county office some time to review all the budgets. So again, tonight's adoption of the tentative budget does give the board an additional month to review it, and at the same time, the county is doing what they're supposed to do so that we could have the public hearing at the end of the month, and then that becomes the final adoption date.
So we are under no obligation to adopt the tentative budget as a final budget?
That is correct.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, so just to clarify, we can make whatever changes that we see fit, and any debate or further analysis that we have over the next month, we can make any of those changes. We're not bound to this in any way.
That's correct.
Percentage-wise or any sort of cap-wise or any other.
And what would end up happening is if the board did make any changes, it would go back to the county for a second review.
So no limitations at all?
No limitations at all.
I have to admit, it does sound like a brain-dead process. So because we could literally hand the county
something totally different, and they've absolutely wasted
all of this time. It is a silly process. Yeah.
What's the downside of, just again, for my own clarification and edification, what happens, assuming we ask for more time, we aren't given more time, what happens if we do not? What is the compliance penalty for failing to provide a tentative budget on March 5th?
I'm not totally sure what the repercussions would be, but again,
strong letter.
What ends up happening is it prevents us and the county from moving forward with the next phase in the process, which would be their review, and ultimately providing us the ability to advertise for our public hearing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we should delay the 5th. I mean, the 5th is the 5th. We ought to obviously make a move.
Yes.
And I don't think that puts us in a good light to say, you know, we're not going to comply with the deadline. I think we have an obligation. We're put behind the eight ball. We have a week if we want to hold a meeting. If not, put out the vote tonight and let people vote as they feel.
I agree. I was just curious as to, since, as Mr. Kaplan correctly pointed out, this seems like really a step for the sake of a step. I was just wondering if the penalties were, you know, a slap on the wrist.
I don't know, you have to wear a sandwich board
outside the school or something, saying I failed to submit my budget.
It's a crazy process. I agree with everything Mr. Frieda said. I mean, we obviously haven't had time. We're not done in the committee. The board as a whole obviously hasn't had time. I think we need to look at this as a procedural thing that we need to do for legal compliance, but the final budget may look nothing like this. We obviously need more time to do that.
Is this an action item under your committee's report?
It is on the agenda.
Okay. I suggest then we move on to the next item on the agenda.
Jim, quick question. What would everybody's availability be if we wanted to meet, say, Monday morning, giving the rest of the board members who, some of us haven't even seen it until a couple hours ago, to review it and start to ask some of those questions in more detail?
I know I'm not available Monday morning. I don't know about other.
Michelle, I'm out of the house at 5.
And then the question is, what do we hope to accomplish between now and Monday?
Getting a chance to look at it, for one. Having some idea of what's in it besides what's in my own committee would be a good thing.
Okay.
Is it going to materially change the budget between now and Monday? No. But we'd be doing at least a better job of looking it over and saying, hey, county, we think what we're presenting to you has at least been reviewed by the board at some level.
I agree with Michelle. I mean, like I said, I just got it when I came here. I can't vote on this not understanding what's in it, except for the committee meeting, which unfortunately I wasn't unable to attend. So I'm not available Monday morning. I don't know if we could do it Friday.
Can I ask it again? This is strictly a procedural question, but let's assume for the sake of argument we hold this off until next Monday. Realistically, assuming there are changes to be made, those changes would be in the final budget due on the 30th. We would have the opportunity between March 5th and March 30th also to debate. And I understand your point and say it. I'm just asking, putting this to Tony and to Kevin, or actually to everybody. the difference between looking at the tentative now and looking at a final between 3.5 and 3.30, would we be, I guess where I'm getting at is the changes we would affect, most of those changes would probably happen, the meaningful changes, to the extent possible, would happen between March 5th and March 30th.
Yeah, you're probably right. But as Rachel pointed out, hard to vote on something that you haven't seen yet.
I agree, and I want the entire board's input, and I think we all want the entire board's input. Just asking.
I could meet on Friday, because I understand it's just a procedural thing, but without even just looking at it, it's very difficult for me to say, let's move forward. It's just hard.
We have to have a public meeting, right, to vote on this?
Yes.
So we have to advertise another public meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
If we were to have a special meeting on Friday morning?
We have a school function Friday.
I know a number of us have committed to Round Valley.
Oh, yeah.
For Read Across America. And if you recall the email that was sent out on Saturday afternoon, others of us will be tied up later in the morning or early afternoon with a board commitment.
So why don't we do this before?
Before?
Yeah.
Before 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
8:15. We're not starting until 8:15. Yeah, but you're not gonna get this.
Yeah, we can meet at 6. I don't care.
I'll buy your coffee.
I can meet early Friday.
Well, I believe most, if not all, the board members are meeting at Round Valley for 8 o'clock. So we're going to be in that school anyway, right, together. Mm-hmm. Why don't we meet half an hour early? Discuss.
I'm not, unless I take a personal day. If it's at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I mean, but if I'm going to go other board commitment, then I'll make the commitment to take a personal day. But I would need to know that ahead of time.
Understood.
7:30 Friday morning?
Does that help you at all, Rachel, 7:30?
7:30 would be okay, but I would just need to know about the other commitment.
All right.
I could do 7:30.
All right. Are we in agreement? We have consensus, 7:30 Friday morning?
I can do 7:30 Friday.
Yep, 7:30.
And in the meantime, you'll get a more detailed explanation of the budget out to the board?
I was sending the work product out. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that action item will be tabled?
It'll be held, yes.
It'll be held till
in abeyance,
Friday morning
in abeyance
at 7:30.
Until Friday morning.
Yes.
Where? Here?
7:30 at Round Valley.
In the conference room? Mm-hmm.
Joel's coming tomorrow. When are you
going to go to the board? We can go to the board conference room. But we have to advertise that, right, Josh?
Yes.
Okay. 7:30 Friday morning.
Jim, we had planned to talk about some budgeting recommendations from policy and curriculum. I was going to do that during the P&T section, but do you want to do it now since we're talking about budget and move past budget? Or wait and readdress it at P&T?
Why don't we wait until we get to policy and curriculum, Kevin?
Okay.
Because one, you know, the next item is public comments on the agenda, and then first recognition of the public. And I think we made a commitment a couple months ago to the public that we would try to do the public comments before it got too involved or too late in the meeting. All right. So if you would save that until we get to your committee report. All right, now do we have to take a vote, or are we just all in agreement that we're meeting, or we'll advertise that?
We'll advertise the meeting for Friday morning.
All right, and we get to that action item, will it just be tabled?
Yes.
Okay. We're at the point in the at the board meeting where we'll have public comments on agenda items only. Public comments on agenda items only. I would remind anybody in the public, or in the audience, who would like to address the board, that we ask that you limit your questions, concerns, comments to 3 minutes. When you come up to the mic, please state your name and address. And again, limit your comments to 3 minutes. Do we have any public comments on agenda items?
Good evening, Nick Quarkadillis. I want to thank you for adding the extra meeting so that you have time to review the budget. At the last meeting on February 13th, that was the last meeting, there was an extra resolution added to your larger resolution to move elections to November. And in that resolution, you made a commitment very explicitly to make sure that information was provided to the public in an adequate and timely way about finances and the budget. And for whatever reason, I don't believe that has happened. And I find myself now with a whole page of questions to ask about a budget and 3 minutes to ask them. So I'm going to ask for adequate time to ask my questions since there is no other opportunity.
Excuse me, there will be an opportunity when we have a public hearing on the budget.
There will not be another opportunity before you submit it to the county superintendent. And if what you're going to submit to the county superintendent, based on what some of you have said, is going to be something but not accurate, there was even some discussion to the effect that this is really just sort of a joke that we're submitting, I would submit to you that that's inappropriate. And as a member of the public who pays taxes here, I have questions about this budget, and I would like to be able to ask them and get answers before you submit something and make a representation to the county superintendent that this is what our tax levy should be. Number one, I would like to ask, who prepared this budget?
It started back in October, sir, with input from the Facilities and Finance. The current business administrator and I, after meeting with the administrative team in September and October, shared some of the highlights and priorities with the Facilities and Finance. We put together our budget and put that to them in November. And then with a month without a business administrator, we had six meetings, if you count the one this evening, from October till now with the Facilities and Finance Committee.
Does each board member have a full version of the budget?
No, they do not.
They do not. And yet, this was on the agenda for tonight. At what point was the addendum published publicly stating that you would, adding on the item that you would be voting on submitting this to the county superintendent tonight? Was that just added today?
That was added just today.
Okay. So you added the vote to the budget today knowing, rather adding it, you added it to the agenda today knowing that board members individually do not have copies of the budget themselves.
That's correct.
So you expected these members to vote on a budget that they do not have and have not read or seen in any way, shape, or form.
We've had several discussions here.
So I'm not asking you about discussions. I'm asking, you're saying they don't have a copy of the budget.
And so they understood where the priorities were and where they were going, as well as information and input from the administrative team in areas that we'd like to continue.
But they're voting on submitting a specific budget, a specific stack of paper to
your
the county superintendent.
Your 3 minutes are up.
Correct.
Mr.
And that goes to the Facilities and Finance Committee.
Okay.
And they report out to the board.
Okay. So they don't have copies of it. What I'd like to ask next is...
No, your 3 minutes are up.
No, Mr. Dinkoff, there is no opportunity...
Up, you can come up during the
sir,
next
you can have
session.
Me removed any way you like. I'm a taxpayer in this town. You have not provided an adequate discussion of what is in the budget that you're going to submit to the county superintendent. You're submitting a legal representation of our tax levy. I have questions. The board has questions. They ask theirs. You're not providing an opportunity for the public to ask you questions about the budget. I have specific items that I would like to talk about that I'd like information about.
Your 3 minutes are up. You can ask another question under the
Mr.
first
Mr. Dinkoff, are you telling
public?
Me that I may not ask this board questions about the budget that they're to vote and submit to the county superintendent?
I can meet with you and answer those questions.
Is that what you're telling me? Mr. Dinkoff.
I'm calling the Clinton Township Police Department to have you removed from this meeting. So you can start. You can do all the talking you want.
You're going to call the police?
That's right.
Go right on ahead. I'm here to ask questions about...
Don't answer anything.
...a school budget that's being submitted to a county superintendent as a legal binding document of your opinion of what should be charged to taxpayers. In the school choice program, there are overhead costs or there aren't overhead costs that are reflected in this budget?
Yeah, this is Jim Dinkoff. I'm president of the Clinton Township Board of Education. We have a public meeting going on.
Is anyone going to answer this question?
Auditorium at Clinton Township Middle School. And I have a citizen who is on the mic and will not sit down. We have a board policy and procedure where they're allowed to ask questions for 3 minutes, and this individual will not sit down. So he's disrupting
Are there overhead costs associated with the school choice program?
Have him removed from the auditorium.
Will additional staff be required, and is the cost of that staff reflected in the budget you're submitting to the county superintendent? How much will we net?
My name is Jim Dinkuff, Diaz
and
David,
from the school choice program once costs, which are represented in the budget to be submitted to the county superintendent, going to reflect?
I have somebody that will not be seated.
Next, how much will this reduce our tax levy by? Next, where is the $247,000 in state aid that the governor delivered to the school district last summer? Is it reflected in this budget?
1741.
The governor's office recently announced that we're getting $872,000 in additional state aid.
Thank you.
Are those funds reflected in this budget? Will those funds be returned to taxpayers? Is that what's going to be submitted to the county superintendent? You have generated $1.6 million, according to this sketch of a budget, in revenue. Last year, you proposed an adequate budget to the voters. And the voters approved that budget, which was considered adequate. It was approved. So you got the money to spend on the budget.
Mr. Corey Dales, can I cut you off for a minute?
Why is that?
I just want to ask my board members. This is a very embarrassing situation. And I'm hesitant to speak up because, you know, it's me speaking and against you speaking and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm a little concerned. Are we okay? I mean, he wants to speak. I don't care if your name was John Smith. I don't care if your name was Mr. Ex-Mayor. I don't care if your name was Peter Gonzalez. I don't care who you are. That's not the issue of why I'm addressing you. And I hope that's not seen otherwise. But does any board member have a problem with this individual asking a question? It's not like we have 50 people here. We just said we're going to have a special meeting on Friday morning, and probably public input is going to be nil at that point. What's the problem with letting the guy, I don't care who it is, let the guy speak?
We're a public body, and there are certain rules and regulations that we should follow as a public body.
But you once said if any board member feels that they want to give a person additional time, they should speak up and ask for it. I don't see an issue of allowing.
I don't see an issue of allowing
this individual the right to speak.
I would agree. I think
he's a citizen of this community.
He's the only one stepping forward with questions.
For the record, I'm sorry you're not answering my questions.
I think it's embarrassing as us as a board that we're not allowing this.
This is not the kind of board I think we want to be. We want to be open to the public. We want to hear what they have to say.
I agree.
3 minutes exists if there are problems.
I've been to borough council meetings, and you know what? They don't hold you to the, they don't hold you to the time. They let you speak. I mean, whoever it is, let's put whoever it is beyond him being at the podium. Let's get beyond the individual who's speaking and look at, this is a taxpayer. This is a citizen of our community. He wants to come out here, and he wants to talk. He's asking questions about the budget. He has a right to do that.
This is
embarrassing. Humiliating, quite frankly.
When we get to our public review of the budget, are we going to cut off our citizens at 3 minutes when this is really their only opportunity to question us on this? I'm not comfortable with this precedent.
I mean, then you call the police. I mean, this is unheard of. This is embarrassing. We're a governing body. Let the individual speak. I don't care who he is. That's not the issue. My gosh, it's embarrassing. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Really, ashamed of ourselves. Believable. Bunch of five-year-olds over here. You know what? I stand by my convictions. I am who I am. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I am who I am, period. I'm not afraid to speak into the gosh darn mic and say something. I don't care who is speaking.
The board president runs the meeting by policy. We follow Robert's Rules of Order. We will wait for the board president.
What you can make about this? You have a huge crowd here.
No, I want to speak, please. And then you can come up and speak. I'm sorry he had to leave. And this is really for the whole board. We had a meeting at the in January, our last regular monthly meeting, where I threatened to call the police because Mr. Korkadilis wouldn't leave the mic, all right? And I also realized that we have a reporter here for the Hunterdon Democrat. I believe that Mr. Korkadilis has a sick, perverted obsession with the Clinton Township Board of Education and with certain board members in particular. And this has been going on for over 6 years. Before I got on the Board of Education, I would come to board meetings and I would hear Mr. Korkadilis rant and rave about the fact that we had no science textbooks. Our superintendent of schools, Dr. Nastis, and our director of curriculum and instruction would try to explain to him that our approach for teaching science was a hands-on approach with manipulative materials and doing experiments. He would not accept that. Every board meeting was, why don't we have science textbooks? Why don't we have science textbooks? When I first became board president a little less than 4 years ago, Mr. Korkadilis was still the mayor of Clinton Township. Mr. Korkadilis called me and said, Jim, we got to get together. Let's go have a cup of coffee at the diner. I said, fine. And we met at the Spinning Wheel Diner. Mr. Korkadilis said, we have to work together for what's best for Clinton Township. And I agreed completely. However, it didn't take long for me to find out what Mr. Korkadilis meant by we have to work together. The first thing he wanted to do was to get rid of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Nastis, all right? And he wanted me to help him do that. Well, in a very short period of time, Dr. Nastis's contract was up, and she was appointed by the Clinton Township Board of Education to a new contract. And ever since then, Mr. Korkadilis has had it in for me and for certain people on this Board of Education. As the years have gone on, things have gotten progressively worse. This past summer, we got state aid. We got additional state aid. And we had, as a Board of Education, a choice of doing four things with that state aid. Number one, the state aid could be used for immediate tax relief. But the only way you could do that was if you had a public meeting, if you had a Board of Education meeting, and the board decided to do that within a matter of, it was less than a week. You had a couple of days to make that decision. So you could do immediate tax relief. You could use the money to put in programs or personnel that you had cut from your budget. You could use it for tax relief for the 12-13 school year, or you could use it for 13-14 12-13 school year or the 13-14 school year. I chose as board president not to call a meeting, but we made a commitment that that money would eventually go back to the taxpayers in the form of tax relief. All right? We made that commitment. I found it very, very interesting that Mr. Korkadilis, who is a resident of Clinton Township and pays taxes in Clinton Township, and his taxes support the Clinton Township Board of Education, complained that we didn't give that money back immediately. As a matter of fact, a week and a half ago on the form, I was accused of stealing the money from the taxpayers. Mr. Korkadilis's taxes also go to pay for North Hunterdon Voorhees school system, where his son attends school. He didn't say one word about North Hunterdon Voorhees, but yet his taxes support that district. That's what I mean by a sick obsession with the Clinton Township Board of Education. The same thing happened when we did the vote to move the election to November, all right? C- currently, I think it's like 86% of the districts in the state of New Jersey have voted to move the election to November. When the governor signed that bill into law, one of the first districts in Hunterdon County to move the election to November was North Hunterdon Voorhees. What did Mr. Corcadellis, who pays taxes to help support the North Hunterdon Voorhees school district, what did he have to say about them moving the election to November? Nothing. But yet he comes to our Board of Education meetings and rants and raves about taking the vote away from the citizens. So I believe he's a disruptive influence. He was warned last January that he is limited to 3 minutes. That's part of our process and procedure. And I felt that it was important for the smooth running of this meeting to have him removed from the premise. And that's my opinion.